Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The big news this morning was the resignation of the government's social mobility czar, Alan Milburn. Milburn, a former Labour Health Secretary who had been appointed to the role by David Cameron back in 2012, told Andrew Marr about his reasons for walking away from the post.
For the last 10 years or so, in various social mobility roles, I've served a Labour Prime Minister, a Coalition Prime Minister, and now a Conservative one. I've done so because I care deeply about the issue and I believe that it matters profoundly to the country. I've reached the conclusion, sadly, that with the current government, there is little, if any, hope of progress being made towards the fairer Britain that the Prime Minister has talked about. The government, probably for understandable reasons, is focused on Brexit and seems to lack the bandwidth to be able to translate the rhetoric of healing social division and promoting social justice into reality. So I'm afraid I've reached the conclusion that there's only so long that you can go on pushing water uphill.
These are areas of desperate deprivation around the country where people are stuck and angry. Theresa May has only had 18 months as Prime Minister. She came in saying that she would correct burning injustices. Are you saying that she is simply unable to do that?
No, look, the Prime Minister, I've got no doubt, has a personal commitment to social justice. She has championed quite unfashionable causes in her time, modern slavery, for example. But what is lacking here is meaningful political action to translate very good words into deeds. In the end, what counts in politics is not what you talk about, it's what you do. And I'm afraid the divisions in Britain are becoming wider. They're becoming wider economically, socially and geographically. The Chancellor, in his budget, just a week or so ago, confirmed that we're going to have 20 years of real earnings being frozen. That's quite unprecedented. We're not making the progress that we should to address these deep divides in the labour market, the housing market, or indeed in our education system.
Some people will say, no surprise here, here is a former Labour minister, never a fan of the Tories, working under a Tory Prime Minister. He's not been reappointed and he's going and he's kicking her as he goes out the door.
Yes, of course, people will say that sort of thing, but frankly, it's a bit pathetic. I've worked for Labour, Coalition, Conservative Prime Ministers. The Commission is cross-party, it's non-partisan, it's entirely independent. We've tried to change the terms of the political debate in the country, and I think that we have. What is needed, however, is really clear leadership to translate perfectly good words into actions that will make a difference.
And the Prime Minister is not providing that leadership?
At the moment, not.
However, the Education Secretary, Justine Greening, defended the government against Milburn's claims that they were not living up to their rhetoric on social mobility.
But what I don't agree with Alan about is his characterisation of the government. Actually, what we are doing is a transformational series of policies across government to drive equality of opportunity.
Sorry, if the four people that you have put into place to oversee that say nothing is happening, you are talking the talk and the words are great, but you are not walking the walk, surely people are going to believe them.
Well, I absolutely don't agree with them. When you look at what we're doing in my own area, we have set up opportunity areas working inside and outside schools in communities to improve education results. If you look at school standards overall, they're continuing to rise. Now 1.9 million more children in great primary and secondary schools who wouldn't have been before. But going beyond that, look at the technical education reforms that we're bringing forward. And of course, today, I'm sure announcements around mental health, which will remove some of the barriers that hold children back.
And we'll come on to that. But as a politician, don't you look at this country and you look at those areas of extreme deprivation and you think something really bad is going wrong here? The Joseph Rowntree Foundation tomorrow are going to say that in terms of poverty for pensioners and for children, things have got worse in a way that hasn't happened for 20 years. There is a quiet, slow, but real crisis in this country.
I think there is a real problem that we need to fix. Britain is not a country where we have equality of opportunity. Where you grow up affects your future far
Absolutely.
Too much. Your circumstances affect your future far too much. This is a generational challenge. Yeah. But actually, when you look at the results of what we've achieved, so you've just asked about the fact we're in government. Absolutely right. What are we seeing happening? We are seeing standards in our schools rise. Critically, we're seeing the attainment gap in schools narrow. This is the difference in outcomes between disadvantaged children and their better-off peers. We're bringing forward our reforms in technical education that will mean for the half of our young people who don't go to university, they will get every bit as world-class an education offered to them post-16 as those that do go on. We're mobilising British business to make sure they're providing the opportunities in our country for young people on their doorstep. And, of course, my attitude on all of this is that...
You certainly talk the talk. I'm just saying, out there, it doesn't seem to be working.
And I'm saying to you that we're delivering, actually. Results in schools are getting better. I'm saying we're making sure we're doing it in the places where it needs to happen and it's most important.
Elsewhere, the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, detailed to Robert Peston the future role of the European Court of Justice with regards to the UK.
You obviously were in the important cabinet meeting which gave the Prime Minister the authority to offer a Brexit settlement of more than £40 billion, but also, for many of your colleagues, contentiously said that in the case of EU migrants, if the Supreme Court feels that it needs to take advice on European law, it can refer cases to the European Court of Justice. Now, many of your colleagues regard that as wholly toxic and wholly contrary to what they think the British people want.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think this is just a technical point that we have the common law system, and where there isn't common law in the case of EU migrants, and we need to get a legal view as to what the law actually means, that they can make this reference.
But just to be clear on this, because it really matters to people, in your view, it is clear, even on the basis of this concession, that British law has precedent and the European Court of Justice does not still, in your view, have sway here?
Absolutely. And this is the crucial thing. The Supreme Court will decide what the law of the country is in this country as voted on by Parliament. That is the big thing that Theresa May has achieved. These are negotiations and there are technical things that we have to sort out. And the fact is that the ECJ will not have sway over British law. That is a very big change. And I think we have to accept that, you know, in terms of migrants' rights, for example, we have lots of Brits who are living in Spain. And there are lots of Europeans who are living over here. And there's going to need to be some kind of cooperation between the legal systems of the EU and the UK to make this work. But this is a detail. The big thing is that European law will not hold sway over British law.
While doing so, Hunt also made a contentious point while singing the Prime Minister's praises.
And I think there's an even bigger point here, that the choice we face now is not between this Brexit or that Brexit. If we don't back Theresa May, we will have no Brexit, and she is doing an unbelievably challenging job, amazingly well.
In truth, there is very little to back up Hunt's claim while the current government remains in place. Under Article 50, if negotiations break down, the UK will leave with no deal rather than no Brexit. In other matters, Lord Howard has raised concerns over the recent allegations made by retired policemen that Theresa May's deputy Damien Green viewed pornography on his computer, which are unrelated to a previous accusation made against Green by the journalist Kate Maltby. Green, for his part, denies all wrongdoing, and Lord Howard outlined his worries to Sarah Smith.
Damien Green, you'll know there has been more stories reported this week around the accusation that he viewed pornography on a parliamentary computer, something he absolutely, resolutely denies. If it is discovered that he wasn't telling the truth when he told the Prime Minister he hadn't done this, that would be a resigning matter, would it?
I don't. That's another hypothetical question. Damien was my parliamentary neighbour for many years. He's denied it. I believe him. And I agree with those very senior figures yesterday who condemned the leaking of information by these retired police officers. I think that's a very serious matter indeed. Policing in this country is based on trust between the police and the public. And if we have retired police officers leaking confidential information of this kind, it will be very damaging to that trust.
And finally, former leader of UKIP and current MEP Nigel Farage told Andrew Marr that, if eligible, he will draw the full EU pension to which he is entitled. Farage denied that accepting the yearly total of £73,000 would be hypocritical and argued the point with his fellow paper reviewer Aisha Hazarika.
because one of the things that you've been very eloquent about is lavish overspending of EU funds. And I noticed that one Nigel Farage is going to get a £76,000 pension.
This is very important. This is very important. There are 22,000 people who either receive or who are in line for EU pensions.
And you're one of them.
But, of course, it just happens to be me they're talking about. No mention of Kinnock or Mandelson or anybody. All I can say is, given the arbitrary way the European Union behaves in terms of money, I'd be very surprised if I get any of it.
Well can I ask you...
Very surprised if I get any of it.
Can I ask you a different question? This is your moment on live television to say that I will stick by my principles. I, Nigel Farage, would not accept this pension.
Oh, I'm not going to get it anyway. So it won't... I don't think this will even occur.
But if it did, you wouldn't take it.
Oh, I would. Of course I would take it. I've said that right from day one. Well, of course.
OK.
Why should my family and others suffer even more?
This is the sort of hypocrity that we see.
No. I said it from day one. It is not hypocrisy.
I've just
voted to get rid of my job. I was the turkey that voted for Christmas. How's that hypocrisy?
If it was hypocrisy, I'd have said we should stay in the EU.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with the first 12 issues for just £12, plus a limited edition Spectator moleskin notebook. Just visit spectator.co.uk/pod offer. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.